I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center at Hobart and William Smith, and this is our Hobart football podcast for Game 6, a home game with RPI Saturday at Boswell Field, joined by Coach Kevin DeWall, 28-21 2 weeks ago at Ithaca. Just let me start with your overall impressions of the game.
It was a tough one to swallow because I thought that we dug ourselves a hole, 14-0, and really proud with the way our guys responded to that. Resilient effort is like I thought we would. We're able to claw back in, scored right before half, which was a big one, put us at 14-7 deficit at halftime, and then dug ourselves, made some adjustments, talked to the guys, regrouped, and came out and had a pretty solid third quarter. We went and took the lead, 21-14, and I think that was the challenge there is just, really good teams would find ways to finish that. And I think that's the part that, eats at us a little bit, especially here, going through the bye week is just, we had it in our fingertips and credit, a good opponent. They made a couple plays. We didn't make a couple plays and we ended up losing a close one on the road that I think both statistically watching it, game, it was pretty evenly played between both teams and credit they made one or two more plays than we did, and that changes the outcome in a one possession game.
Mistakes hurt you in a game like that. You had a couple back to back loss containment on the quarterback for a touchdown, interception. They turned that into a touchdown. And like you say, it's very difficult when you're playing a quality opponent to spot them two scores and come back, even though you did.
Yeah, and I think that's the part. We had a couple guys who hadn't played in a while that, weren't 100%, but just knowing the competitors that they are that were out there. And, I think the energy and the effort was there. The execution lacked a little bit, and especially a couple, timely possessions. And then same thing, there was only one turnover in the game. It was a pretty well-played game, but our one turnover gave them a short field that they capitalized. And, you could argue that was a part of that 7-point deficit that, even though when we got the lead, I think that's where we spent so much time and focusing on, digging it out. And then when we were there, and I think we looked back on our side of the ball on offense, that second to last drive, we had some opportunities to go in and tie it. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Those are plays that, if we make, we're sitting here and maybe have a different conversation. So, very good team. Ithaca was undefeated and currently still is undefeated. So they're playing well. It was a quality opponent, but we definitely felt like we played well enough to win it. Also missed a couple opportunities that you could see where we might have lost that. And I think having that kind of go through our fingertips, we've challenged our team. How do you respond to that? And I think that's what we're going to find out, coming off of the bye week. Are we going to learn and grow from that? And if we are, then I think we're going to have a chance to continue to move this thing forward.
When Ithaca started having success moving the ball, it's when they went to a real high-speed, hurry-up offense. Do you feel like, were you given a fair shake in terms of the subbing? We were talking a little bit. It looked like it was a little inconsistent in terms of, on the hurry-up, if the offense subs, the defense is supposed to be given the chance. Didn't look like you always got that chance.
Yeah, there was a couple things in that game that that definitely maybe had some influence in some of the personnel that was on in certain plays. There was a couple inconsistencies, but again, we'll never point fingers at the officials. That comes down to us responding, and credit, they made a couple plays and we brought pressure and their quarterback put the ball in the right spots, and they had a couple of really good playmakers that made some contested throws and catches, and I think we had those same opportunities and we might have missed one or two of those, and I think that's the part that we're going to put the focus on us and our execution more so than the officials.
Against an opponent like that, you find out things about your team. That late first half drive, you found out some positives. 14-0 on the road, crowds hollering, things aren't looking good, and you guys dug down and got some points on the board before half where you were getting the ball back to start the second half.
Yeah, they did a really good job trying to pack the box and stop the run, which we've seen all year long teams are trying to do. And we made a couple plays in the passing game that helped, stretch the safeties, and that's what we needed to do, and we just didn't do it consistently throughout the game because there were things that were open and we missed. Whether that's timing, whether that was protection, whether that was protection calls, whether that was execution reads, it all kind of comes into play. But on that drive, we were able to hit a couple and still able to run it in, and I thought it was really good clock management on our side, timeline. We had a timeout ready to go, and we were going to run that in and have another chance for a run because we had the timeout in our pocket that we didn't need because we scored it with Tim Denham's run there. But I thought that was really, really important for our entire team. I think it was the offense to show that, yeah, all right, we're ready to compete. And we had some drives earlier in the game that we kind of shot ourselves in the foot on some just, you know, we call them drive killers, just situations that, you know, credit a good opponent, but things that we did that kind of maybe missed a read, a penalty, or something that kind of prevented us from efficiently executing first downs. I thought we kind of did that on that drive to go down and score, and then we carried that over into the third quarter. And I think our defense and special teams, you know, needed to see that little shot of energy to say, all right, our offense is here, ready to go. And you know, to beat a good opponent on the road and in that type of environment, it was, as we said that going in, it was going to take all three phases. And I thought all three phases played hard. The effort was there, but again, just lacking a little bit in the execution to truly, you know, finish that game off.
What was the difference between the early part of the game when you really couldn't move the ball well and then late half, early second half when you did move it well? It looked like, I thought Ithaca dominated the line of scrimmage pretty significantly early, and I thought you turned that around in that late second and early third.
Yeah, their defensive front was very good. That was the best defensive front we've seen up to this point. And I think going in, we knew that they did a really good job in terms of, you know, committing extra linebackers and safeties into the run game. We had some things open, like I said, in the passing game that we didn't hit the first series or two. And it was really more like the way that first half went. And again, you know, it was a poor read on the interception. We had some guys open like that might be the other way around. We might be giving 7 points and instead we gave up seven. So I think it was really coming back to our end and execution. You know, we see so many different defensive looks and different fronts because of how we play on offense, that sometimes watching video of teams going into against other opponents, they don't have to match up or do some things that they'll have to do against us. So typically you'll find, you know, give us a first quarter to kind of get a sense on how teams are playing, we'll be able to make some adjustments. And I think that showed so far through the first half of the year. And it's just a matter of time, just making sure that we get our playmakers the ball in open space. And you know, I thought we did a pretty good job. You know, I thought Tim and Rayshon were two guys who played at a really high level. And just unfortunately that, like I said, we didn't execute on that last drive when there was things there. And second to last. I mean, the last one was a little bit more of a hurry up. And unfortunately, you know, we got down there, but the timing was more of an influence than that one. And then, so I think it was a combination of our guys really just executing at a higher level. And I thought the staff and the players, we did a good job just kind of making a couple adjustments that, you know, gave our guys maybe a better chance to execute some of those drives.
Let's talk about the overall progression of the passing game. When you lost Shaquille Matthews, it changed your passing game because he's a guy who stretches the field, bring guys with him, opens up people underneath. How do you feel David Crewson and his young receivers have been meshing as the season's gone on?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've progressed. I still think that we're a little inconsistent in that area for my liking. And that comes with just, it's a combination. We've had some other injuries that have, you know, we haven't had the same receiving core practice throughout the week, almost the last 3 or 4 weeks. And what that does is that just affects timing, it affects chemistry. And I think that part of it is probably the biggest thing that jumped out to me after that game was in a situation where Ithaca was daring us to throw the ball on a more regular basis. Our biggest plays were in the passing game, minus the one long run. So we did make some plays, but it wasn't at the highest efficiency that we have been in the past. And I think that's the part that we've continued to focus on. And we're not going to dwell on it. It's not a magic bean that all of a sudden says, hey, your passing game is going to be significant. But we have talented players. We have talented quarterbacks. The protection's been sound. I think as long as we can just keep adjusting as we – again, this week we're doing the same thing. It's just we haven't had the same receivers. It's just the nature of that position and some injuries that have slowed us down a little bit, and we'll never use that as an excuse. But I hope that we'll be able to be a little bit more effective in the passing game moving forward.
One of the things you've been able to do is get Boswell and Denham involved in the passing game out of the backfield. Number one, it's a high percentage throw. And number two, anytime you get one of those guys a touch, it's a chance to score.
Absolutely. And the reality is there's such – they're very good athletes, so I don't want to label them just as running backs because, you know, and that's why you see, like, we're trying to create matchups. I mean, I don't think any offensive coordinator's not doing the same thing. You look at how your O-line matches up to the other D-line. You look at how your receivers and tight ends and running backs match up in both the run and passing game. I just think with Tim and Rayshon, they are, if we were putting them at receiver, they'd be two of our best receivers, you know. So we have the good fortune of having those guys that have both the football IQ and the athletic ability to line up in a lot of different positions. And I think you'll continue to see that moving forward, is that I think any defensive coordinator is going to see that those are going to be focal points for any defense to try to slow down.
After a slow start running the ball, you ended up with pretty good numbers by the end of the game against probably the best run defense you face this year. At this point, it looks like you're going to be able to get a decent ground game against almost anybody.
Well, I think you mentioned it. The line of scrimmage, we had to fight for it, and it was a combination of their defensive front was a little bit older and stronger than maybe some of the teams we had faced, and they pressured, they put extra safeties and linebackers in the box. We've seen a lot of, it goes back to that question we talked about earlier, just teams throw different things at us that maybe they haven't had to do against other teams. We're going to continue to see that. We know that this week against RPI, they're going to be really focused on, they're very strong in the front as well, and we know that, you know, not looking ahead, but there's going to be other opponents that are going to be really good up front. So it's a challenge week to week. I think running the ball is a mindset for us. I think it goes with matching our personnel, but I believe there's a physicality and toughness that comes with running the ball and stopping the run that we will always try to have on both sides of the ball while we're here. And I think that's what we're trying to do is, you know, yes, Tim and Rayshon are good running backs, but we have a handful of other good running backs, so we would be running the ball regardless or attempting to run the ball. I think the challenge is going to be out there for the offensive line and the tight ends and the receivers and the quarterbacks. We're all 11 of us. It takes all 11 to be able to run the ball effectively, and I'm hoping that, you know, with the bye week and maybe some adjustments that we can continue to do that this week.
How do you decide which back to have in the game? Sometimes it's by series. Sometimes you'll make a switch if somebody needs a breather or something. But is there any particular formula you use to decide who's it's going to be?
Yeah, we keep an eye on touches. We keep an eye on matchups. You know, I think, you know, Tim and Rayshon are both uniquely different in terms of what their skill sets are. And again, we feel comfortable throwing and running with either one of them, inside, outside, vertically, horizontally. But I think it is a feel thing. There also is a method to my madness in terms of, you know, setting some things up and getting a feel for, you know, where the flow of the game is going to be. So it's a combination of the mental side and a lot of planning into it. There's a lot of preparation that our staff does going into those games. And then there's the combination of just trusting your instincts, trusting your gut feeling. And you know, I think those guys will be on the field on a regular basis. You know, early on, they were kind of rotating. Now you're going to see them, you know, in the last week or two, you saw them being on the field more together. It's a combination. We're always trying to figure out how do we get our best combinations out there together. And they're so versatile that we can still be pretty dynamic on offense, regardless if the one, just one's out there or if they're both out there.
On defense, Ford and Aguilar both back. I don't know if those guys, if they weren't 100%, you couldn't prove it by me. I mean, Ford was making plays right off the get-go.
Yeah, they that's a tribute to their warrior mentality. Neither one of those guys was 100%. And you know, we joke around after the first day of preseason, no one's ever 100%, but those guys were playing through some pretty significant setbacks in terms of physical injuries and whatnot. But I also think as two seniors, two leaders on our defense, they really wanted to be out there. We made sure that they showed us leading up to it. They didn't do much practicing, you know, so that it was a game time decision for both of those guys. But I think the mindset of and just their leadership ability out there helps our defense. And just, you know, again, other guys have stepped up in their absence, but it just hopefully gave us an opportunity to get two of our playmakers on defense back out there going against a very good Ithaca offense. So it was crucial. But, you know, both of those guys, by missing some of that practice time, both conditioning and just the attention to detail, seeing some of the looks maybe didn't quite play up to their expectations. Obviously still played well, but I think with the ability to get more reps, those guys are going to really play well this week and moving forward.
Take us through the last play of the game. We were on the other side of the field, so it was away from us, and we couldn't really see on the far sideline. Was there just no chance for Cruzan to get out of bounds and try to get off one more play?
Yeah, I think that's a play David wants back. Just the nature of the play, we're out of timeouts, and we spent some time, and you never want to harp on one play, but that was a play where he had the opportunity to throw it away and or get out of bounds. Either one of those gives us a chance for one more, and that's what you're doing. At that point in the game, you're just trying to save yourself for the next play, and I think it was, again, good intentions. He was trying to get out of bounds, but I think just with all the eyes on and the pressure of that situation, I think had he had to do it again, he would have thought to throw it away or to get out of bounds. Either one of those gives us one more shot. And again, as close as we were, I would have loved to have that one more shot.
What do you make of RPI? They're 6-0, but it's easy to say, well, they really haven't played anybody, and some of their games were close, but still, 6-0 is 6-0.
Well, I think you got to be careful looking at scores. A lot of those scores is when they have their backups and their thirds in. I even look at last week, team scored on the last play of the game. I mean, the last couple games in particular. So they won the first couple games with lower scoring defensive battles, come from behind, and, they were one possession games. They've gotten better throughout the season. And if you look at their last two league opponents, Buff State and Rochester, they were in control significantly by the third quarter. And then both teams, Rochester and Buffalo State, scored some late touchdowns that made the score look more respectable. I mean, that was a 24-3 game against Buff State. And, obviously two scores makes it look closer, makes it look like a one possession game, but they scored on a Hail Mary type throw the last play of the game. So, What you see from RPI, and this is true year in, year out, and they've had the same coaching staff for a while, so there's continuity that shows in how they play. And this is no knock as them as engineers. They're going to be in the right spot. That's one of the things you always know when you play RPI. Throw in the fact, and this has got to be one of the oldest and most experienced teams we've ever faced.
50 guys, 50 fifth-year players.
How
many Division I teams have that?
Yeah, like when we saw, and again, we don't, once we moved on from Ithaca and we took a look at RPI, and I'm going through, and it's senior, fifth-year, and I'm like, goodness sake. So they have a lot of guys who've played a lot of football. You think about 22, 23 year olds. So there's an age and physicality that comes with that development, but also just the experience factor. So that's why I think on top of who they already are, then having that type of experience, that's how they won those close games early on and why they're continuing to get better. Like you watch them, they are just fundamentally sound in what they do. You don't see a lot of weaknesses, and I think that's a credit to having a lot of upperclassmen playing. If they have young guys playing, I haven't found many of them. They're mostly seniors, fifth-year seniors, or graduate students.
Let's talk about the challenge their offense presents. You talk about Boswell and Denham. They could be receivers. They could be runners. That's the whole RPI team. Who's a receiver? Who's a runner? The receivers run the ball. The runners catch it. Guys flying in motion every which way. I mean, it's a difficult offense to adjust to.
Absolutely, and they have – I think the strength of their team, and we talked about it a lot of positions, but having that quarterback, he's poised, he's experienced. I mean, he's playing very, very well. I mean, and it shows statistically, but it shows in his play. You can give a lot on him as a fifth-year quarterback, and he's making reads and throws that shows that he's an experienced quarterback. They have a slot receiver who is one of the more dynamic players in the conference. He's by far their leading receiver, but he's just a guy that they want to you'll find number seven, and their offense is going to go through him, and they'll move him around in doing that. But they have, at every position, experience across the board, which allows them to – they're going to throw the kitchen sink at us. Every single game, they'll try a double pass. They'll try a reverse. They're going to try to get an aggressive defense to give up a big play here or there. And this goes back to when we played them in 2019 and 2018. Every year that I can remember playing RPI, they've tried something through special teams and offense to try to create that play. So, again, it's going to come down to discipline. It's going to come down to execution. In 2019, when we played them, our defense did a really good job slowing and stopping the run. Which then made them a pass-heavy offense in that game, but that's how they are coming in. So I think it's going to be a good challenge, and we saw that Ithaca was able to make a couple plays in the passing game. And some of it were, we didn't have a lot of guys just running free. They made some contested throws and catches, and I think that's what we're going to see again this week. I got to believe that RPI is coming in confident in what they can do passing-wise. And I have a feeling they're going to be chucking the ball around most of the game.
You mentioned it. With all of the motion and the misdirection, they will use your defensive aggressiveness against you. They want to see the DNs flying upfield and overrunning the play. How do you coach your guys to keep their aggressiveness but also remember assignment football?
It's a very fine line. If you come out passive against a very experienced offense, that's what they're hoping to do. They want to put that on video so the teams play passive and play base. That's also not in our DNA. That's not who we are. So it's It's a challenge, and again, we have experience on our defense that I think will have to show up on Saturday as well to show that we can still be fundamentally sound, play 11-on-11 football, 11 strong, everyone doing their 1/11th, but we're going to be sprinkling in. It's just who we are. We don't want to sit back and just play base the entire time. But we're going to give them different looks. I think the bye week has hopefully given our defensive coaches and defensive side of the ball extra time to prepare for their many looks and formations, but they'll come in with some new things that they haven't shown up to this point. But I think that is going to be a really interesting matchup, is the strength of RPI's offense against, you know, right now our defense, you know, even minus, you know, the couple plays they gave up against Ithaca had been playing pretty well. And if we're going to be a great team, we're going to respond after that. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how our defense plays on Saturday.
And let's talk about attacking their defense. It's a three-man front. They play a 3-4. The linemen have a lot of tackles. They have a guy they refer to as a rover, who's kind of a linebacker sometimes, D-back other times. So it's almost like their offense. They want to give you a bunch of different looks and try to overload you mentally with things to think about.
Yeah, the thing I look at in their defensive coordinator, Jeff Dittman, is a really good coach, and he will get their guys. They're going to be in the right position. And I know Jeff for years. We've gone against one another, and his defenses are disciplined, and that's what I mean. Like, they're going to mix up, and they'll play a four-man front. They just essentially walk up their linebacker, and they play with an extra. He's like a 6'4", 225 D-end that can drop off as a will linebacker. But I think for us, you know, they'll mix up the fronts. They are pressuring. They're doing a lot of pressuring, but behind it, mixing up the coverages. And again, you see a ton of seniors and fifth years across the board, so they're not going to be in the wrong position. I think they're going to come in, and this is the strength of their defense all along, is they do a really good job stopping the run, running the ball against RPI because of the angles. You know, they're going to cheat inside to force you to leverage you on the perimeter. And we made a lot of plays in the passing game in 2019. You know, Ryan Hoffman, Ray Conley, and Mike Giacobbe, and Jake Catalua had a very, you know, big game passing-wise. And that's kind of spread their defense out a little bit. So it's going to have to be a balanced attack. As much as you know, everyone wants to talk about our running game, you know, statistically, we're still going to be a balanced team if we can be efficient. And again, a lot of it's going to be executing when plays are there. You know, we had some plays against Ithaca that we didn't execute that were there. I mean, and that's not a knock against Ithaca's defense. They were there. We have to execute those. That'll be the same thing on Saturday. When the plays are there, not every single play, but when they're there, can we go execute? And if we can do that, I think that helps keep that defense honest, where they, you know, now need to stretch the entire field from sideline to sideline. And, you know, we're going to always take vertical shots. That's a part of our passing game. And I know other teams maybe don't do that. We just believe in the way teams are defending us. Some of those vertical shots, you know, over the time, they're going to have to hit a couple of those vertical shots.
In a six-game league schedule, it's pretty tough to overcome a loss. Have you given any thought at all? I mean, for example, with Ithaca, I mean, the chances of getting ahead of them head-to-head aren't good, so you're looking at three-way tie scenarios and all that kind of thing. Do you care about that at all? Do you think about that at all, or just one game?
No, I mean, it's a part of my position as a head coach, and I serve on a regional athletic you know, committee that kind of helps with regional ranking. So it's something I have to look at for that responsibility. The one thing is our conference is very, very strong. We have three undefeated teams. I think we were very close to being an undefeated team, so I'm not counting us out by any means. I think we have a lot to play for, and those are the message to our guys. It just happens to be, and it happened, we always play one of the tougher games right away in league play. In 2019, we played a very good Union team on the road that had 2 weeks to prepare for us, and you know, we kept fighting after that one, and same thing. Ithaca had 2 weeks to prepare for us at their place, and it's a game that we thought, you know, and again, it comes back to us. I think we had a really good chance to win that game, and we got to respond. So we got a lot to play for. We got an undefeated 6-0 RPI team coming in. That's been our only focus. And if we take care of business and we're able to advance on, then we'll look at the next opponent and so on and so forth. I just think our conference, and it showed, teams are going to beat one another. And if Ithaca is good enough to go out and go undefeated, well, we can't control them. We can only control what we can control. So we talk about all the time controlling our controllables. Our effort, our focus has been 100% on a very good RPI team. And really, and it sounds cliche, but it's true, we spent all last week and the bye week, for the most part, focusing on Hobart. There's so much we can continue to clean up, and then we have. And I know it might not be like week to week just so glaring, but there's little improvements, especially with all the changes. This year, we've had more movement of personnel than I can remember in a long time for a team that's 4-1 and almost 5-0. you know, sometimes if you're moving that much personnel around, you're losing a couple of games, teams forget about that. But to our guys' credit, and you're going to see new faces playing against RPI that maybe haven't had a significant role, whether that's special teams or offense, defense, that's a tribute to those younger guys continuing their development. And we're going to have to do it without maybe some of our more experienced guys. So we'll see if our young guys can step up. But I look at it as if we can continue to progress and we can win, and we got some teams coming up, RPI and some other teams that are going to be undefeated, they're going to see that our strength of schedule is going to play out. And our conference is going to have a really good chance, I believe, to get two teams in the NCAA playoffs. And the only way that wouldn't happen is if we all continue to beat one another and you know, there's two lost teams. But I don't know. I mean, and it'll play out in time whether a team can go undefeated in our conference. It's good. To do that, you're going to have to beat three or four really good teams. And that parity isn't a bad thing. That's a strength of our conference. And if you look at right now, the Liberty League is one of the stronger conferences. If you look at the non-league schedule, what they did, and now they're playing out. And I think it's just going to be interesting as we all continue to play one another, who can, you know, week to week, who can continue to get better, because it's going to be the team that's finishing the season late, because there's some late matchups that are going to really determine who the conference winner is going to be.
From a fan standpoint, this game I think is going to be entertaining. I mean, this has, you know, tie game with 3 minutes left written all over it. So I hope that's not the case. I hope we're up by three scores, but I think it's going to be an entertaining football game on Saturday, and I wish you and the team best of luck.
Thank you, Ted. We appreciate your support.
Kevin DeWall, the head coach of the Statesman. That's our Hobart football podcast for game number 6. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, rate us and review us, and get us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want your Hobart athletic news throughout the day, follow the Statesman on Twitter, at Hobart Football, on Instagram, also at Hobart Football. And, of course, the official website for HWS Athletics is hwsathletics.com. Saturday, 1 p.m. kickoff. Until next time, have a great football week.